Hi, it's Jim Bakiai. Welcome to my podcast, Be You. The world will adjust. We're all adjusting. I think some days I don't even know what I'm adjusting to, but I'm adjusting. I read an interesting quote by a young woman, and it just caught me at the right time, right place. So I thought I would share it with you. I think when the dust settles, we will realize how little we need and how very much we actually have and the value of human connection. How little we need and how much we have. And I was sort of, everyone's kind of finishing up with their vacations, and traditionally we'd be talking about going back to school, getting kids back to school, reevaluating, restart the button. You know, it's almost like September is like almost like the new year. It's not resolution time, but there's a new period of time. And that new period of time, just like everything else, is getting thrown around and turned upside down. And how are we preparing? You know, we adapt, pivot, and adapt. Once we pivot and adapt, how do we prepare? What do we prepare for next? I found this summer that there's been a lot of reevaluating. I don't know if everybody else has found that, but a lot of people I've talked to found that. And I think that's why that quote really sort of captured me. And it said, you know, I found myself doing a lot of reflecting, because the greatest gift of this pandemic, if there is a gift, has been the time with my family. My kids are older, and normally they're off and running with their lives and two jobs. And normally we would kind of catch up together on a weekend or maybe a Sunday night dinner. But in actual fact, the world is sort of reversed, and that Sunday night is kind of the night we're all taking off from each other because we spend so much time during the week. And I don't know if that's maybe the case for those of you at home. Like many other people, we have loved ones in other parts of the world that either can't get back here or the quarantine situation makes it even more difficult. My daughter Nora and her husband Pat are stuck in London, England, just moved into a new apartment. So they're going through many of the same things we're going through here. It must be difficult, I know it is for us, to not have Nora and Pat here in the summer come for a couple of weeks. They were supposed to be married this summer. We had to postpone the marriage, the wedding, anyways, not the marriage. And I probably run into 25 people whose children have had to postpone their weddings, or instead of having 100 people, they have 5 people or 10 people and just immediate family. And I can only imagine what it's like for those that are stuck outside the country that can't get home, and they're watching our life continue on collectively together, and that benefit of family and being close together makes it probably difficult. Thank God for FaceTime or Zoom or Google or whatever you use. It's not the same as a hug and a kiss. It's the next best thing, and it's the only thing that we've really got going for us. So if you believe, as I do, that wealth is measured by family, then this pandemic has made us rich beyond our wildest dreams. Time with the loved ones to reconnect and share memories and make new memories. It's odd that we all feel very nostalgic and are reminiscing probably far more than usual. Not just about family, but about where we work, co-workers, how we work. I know personally, we derive comfort from talking about our shared memories and laughing and even crying together over things. Stories that I hadn't thought about in a long time. Work stories, family stories, friend stories kind of popping into my mind, maybe because our minds just aren't as cluttered as they used to be with sort of, you know, running to get the train, running from the train to get to the office, running from the office to get to a meeting, running from the meeting to get to a lunch, running, 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 running. There's definitely been a slowdown, a calming effect against the backdrop of all of the things that we're collectively dealing with. So I guess when I think about it, we're starting to value things differently. You know, as I've talked about in a lot of my podcasts about valuing yourself, I again read this great little story, and so I'll share it with you. Father said to his daughter, "You graduated with honors, Here's a car I acquired many years ago. It's several years old. But before I give it to you, take it to a used car lot downtown and tell them I want to sell it and see how much they offer. The daughter went to the used car lot, returned to her father and said, they offered me $1,000 because it looks very worn out. The father said, take him to the pawn shop. Daughter went to the pawn shop and returned to her father and said, the pawn shop offered $100 because it was a very old car. And then the father said, go to a car club and show them the car. Daughter took the car to the car club, returned and told her father, some people in the club offered $100,000 since it's a Nissan Skyline R34, an iconic car and sought out by many. Father said to his daughter, the right place values you the right way. If you're not valued, do not be angry. It means you're in the wrong place. Those who know your value are those who appreciate you. Never stay in a place where no one sees your value. And for those of you that know me, know that I believe these things come to me at opportune times, and maybe I'm just seeing it more. But it really makes me think about not only valuing the things in life that are important to us, like family and friends and memories, but it's probably not a bad time to ask yourself the question, am I being valued at my job? Do people see me as a valuable contributor? Is my job and my company allowing me to be the best that I can be? Is my company the wind beneath my wings? Is it doing everything to help me be the best that I can be, to expand upon the skills that I have and that I'm really good at, make me feel productive and like I'm growing? I know that everyone is concerned in this time period about jobs. I've said to people many a times that the beauty of the point I've come to in my life, and I really, really, I wish I'd learned this early on, but I spend a lifetime now trying to help people learn it, is I get paid for being me. And I think everybody should get paid for being themselves. It's hard. It's hard work. You've got to, first of all, understand who you are and what you're offering. So in this sort of period of thinking about value, we think about value in our families. We think about how valuable our families are to us. And this period of time has made us much more appreciative of each other. Take some time and think about your employer. Or conversely, if you are an employer, take some time and think about the people that work for you. Ask yourself the question, am I getting the best that I can from those people? And what am I doing as the employer to enable that person to do even a better job? How am I removing impediments, waste of time, things that really aren't important? If we're all slimming down to things we need in life, shouldn't that also maybe hold true for the workplace? I've had countless people tell me that their decision-making has been incredible in their organization. It's been the best it's probably been in some cases over 25 years. Their efficiency of decision-making has improved dramatically because they don't have to have 50 people at every meeting, and they've given people more responsibility. And with people working at home, there's a drive to sort of keep it short, keep it tight. Let's get an answer. Let's move on. And as I've said to many people, most companies function best in a crisis. I think sometimes people function best in a crisis as well, because you come together to deal with things. And in a crisis, people react differently. And I also think in a crisis, all the bullshit games that some people play in corporations kind of disappear. People don't have much time for it. So in your own crisis, in our own sort of crisis of what's going on, how are we going to improve our lives? How are we going to improve our professional lives? How are we going to say to our bosses and other people, I want to do more of this. I want to be more of that. And I think that my BU, the world will adjust, actually even more important now, because finding the right job in this environment is even more critical, because you're not going to be at the office. You're not going to have all that traditional stuff that you had when you started a place. So you want to really make sure that that new job of yours, you'll be able to get the message across of your value and get the message across of how you can be accretive to that organization. Seek out the opportunities, do some research, understand what you provide and how transportable those skills are. I don't think people give themselves enough credit for the transportability of their skill sets. Say, well, you know, I was in fixed income, or I was in this business, or I was in this business. But the reality is, at the core, what were those skills that you applied to those businesses? You know, if you think back over the summer to the people that I've had on my show, they all had to pivot and adapt at different points in their lives. They all had to stop and say, what is my value? Am I getting the best of my organization? And is the organization getting the best out of me? You know, people often talk about loyalty. Oh, you know, I'm loyal to the organization. I'm loyal. And I always say, well, are they loyal to you? Well, they haven't fired me. And I said, so that's the acid test of loyalty. Well, in the same way as an organization evaluates on an annual basis to get your performance review, what about your performance review of the organization you work for? How would you evaluate them on leadership? How would you evaluate them on opportunity? How would you evaluate them on their strategic plan? Do they have a plan that you see the company growing and in opportunities, or are there no opportunities? And lastly, on the greatest opportunity and upside for you. I want people to think about, how am I valued? Am I getting the return? Does my employer value me in the same sort of way as I value them? So if you're an individual, I want you to do a performance evaluation on your company. Trust me, people sitting in management roles are asking themselves the question, you know, how's Jim doing during this period? And how's Katie doing during this period, right? That evaluation is going on constantly. So let's flip it around. How would you value the performance of your company during this period of time? And what do you see the prospects for your company and the opportunities for you in your company? And then take a moment, sit back. It's an interesting exercise. So take a few moments, evaluate your boss, evaluate your company. And if you get a chance, send me an email and let me know how they did. I'm Jim Bakiai. Podcast is BU. Thanks, everyone. Keep on valuing family.